Turn to Romans 5. Do you need a Bible? Or if you need a Bible, we got some extra Bibles back there. I don't know anybody that don't need a Bible. Continuing on in Romans 5, we're not in a hurry. Last week we looked at Paul, you know, at the beginning of the book of Romans, making the argument that, you know, we're righteous, not by works, not by our flesh, not by the law, not by what we do, but it's a gift, a free gift of God, the Bible tells us. Gift of righteousness. We're declared, pronounced righteous before God by grace through faith, the Bible tells us. In chapter 5, Paul, after making his argument, you know, states that we've been justified. And having been justified, the things that come along with being justified, pardon, forgiven, made righteous before God. He says in verse 1 that we have peace with God. There's no more struggle, no more war. The war's over. He says in verse 1 that, or verse 2, that we have access. We have peace and we have access by faith into this grace by which we stand. It's how we stand, God's grace. And we have access, free access, because of God's love and favor and mercy and grace. He says the benefits that come along with our faith, our Christian life, our belief in Christ, peace, access. Paul goes on to say that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God as a practice. We look forward to what lies ahead, what God has for us. We rejoice in it. And, you know, it's our standing as we, you know, because we accepted Him, we get all these benefits, the beneficiary of all these good things. It's our standing before Him. Then he tells us that the process or the growth process that, you know, in verse 3 that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope does not disappoint, that the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. The process, you know, while we live on earth, the things we go through and why we go through them, to produce fruit, growth, maturity, as we develop as Christians. That's God's design plan. Not that we be carnal, not that we neglect Him, but that we follow Him, that we stay close to Him. And understand, when things happen, we don't blame our parents, we don't blame the, you know, the boss. We understand that it's God molding and shaping us for His purpose. Perseverance, character, character, hope, hope. And the ultimate is love. God's love in us by the Holy Spirit, Paul says. In verse 9 he says, much more than just having been justified, we've been saved from wrath. Being exonerated from hell, from God's punishment. The benefits of our faith in Christ. In verse 10, he says, you know, much more. You know, than just having been justified, having been saved from wrath. We've been reconciled and saved by His life. Reconciled back to God. Made back, you know, brought back into a good relationship with Him. The benefits of God's grace and our faith in Christ. Then he goes on in verse 12, how talking about sin, really contrasting sin with God's righteousness, he says, and therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. How sin, you know, the origin of sin, how sin came into the world. Paul gets into this. He says in verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world. but sin is not imputed when there is no law. It says before the law was given to Moses, you know, from Adam to Moses, you weren't held accountable that you broke the law because there was no law. But you were held accountable for the consequences of sin. That's death. Every man died. When Adam, the Bible tells us, you know, God gave him a prohibition. Don't eat of one tree. You can do everything you want. Everything. But just don't eat of that one tree there. Prohibiting one tree. And because of his disobedience, death came. And death reigned, Paul says. Reigned from Adam to Moses before the law. Sin wasn't imputed, but death reigned. In verse 14, he says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Even though they didn't sin, the way Adam sinned, still held accountable and guilty and suffered the consequence of sin, and that was death. Who was a type of him who was to come. In verse 15, contrasting God's free gift with sin, he says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded. He contrasts, you know, God's gift of eternal life, God's grace, God's life, and he contrasts it, it's greater. You know, it's free, it's a free gift. We can't buy it. We don't deserve it. But he says it's not like the offense. You know, the differences between God's grace, God's gift of righteousness, God's love, and sin, or the differences between them. He says that the first difference is that the grace of God is much more. There's more power to God's grace than there is in sin. You know, he makes all these differences and contrasts for a reason. You know, as he opens up the book of Romans, he's teaching us about our faith, what grace is, and, you know, for a reason that we might take part, receive it. He said it's much greater than sin, more power than sin. That's one of the differences of God's grace and sin. It abounded to many. The next, it's greater, he says. In verse 16, he says that, and the gift is not another difference. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which came from many offenses, resulted in justification. The second difference is that the consequence or the fruit or the results are different. The result of sin is condemnation, judgment, the result of God's grace is freedom. It's life. It's eternal life in the differences. Justification, he says. In verse 17, he goes on, he says, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. He kind of issues a challenge to take part or tap into God's grace. If one allows Christ to reign in him, he'll reign in life, Paul says. It's much greater. It's a reigning power, reigning like a king within us. We have a choice. You know, we can live for Christ or we can live for self. And he says, if you live for Christ, it's a greater power. There's an abundance that comes with it. He goes on, and talking about how it applies to us. In verse 18, he says that, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. The result of Jesus Christ dying upon the cross and us and our faith and the benefits as a beneficiary of the Christian life is justification of life. There's a new life that he offers. That's what he's going to talk about, and he opens up to us. It's about our new life, our new nature. It's true. It has a greater power and better results. When you live according to Christ in the operating principle that's in the Scripture, he offers grace, and it's abundant, and it comes with more power over our sinful nature. That's what he's going to talk about, and he opens up to us. The change of life, new life. You know, from the offense, contrasting the offense, judgment, condemnation, with the justification of life. In verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. The effect of Adam's sin, all are born into sin, and Christ's death, burial, resurrection, all who believe and follow will be made righteous. In verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Shines the light. The law is kind of like a thermometer. You know, we put it in our life, and it shows us who we are, or a flashlight. It exposes our sin. Here he says, you know, the purpose, the law came that the offense, that sin might abound, might be seen, might be exposed, might be recognized, might be acknowledged for what it is before God. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Again, grace greater than sin. The abundance of grace over the abounding of sin. Sin reigned in verse 21, he says, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, kind of like the theological capsulizing of, you know, sin, how sin entered the world, how it relates to us, how we fell into this whole, you know, human nature, and how Christ changes everything. But he gives the, you know, the theological aspects. But he says, you know, that grace rules. The first point he makes is, you know, over between the two, Adam and Christ, there are representatives. You know, their actions affect us because there are representatives. When Adam sinned, he fell into sin. Everyone born under Adam in our Adamic nature, born into sin. By nature, we were born into sin. His action affects us, as with Christ, and his action affects us. You know, back in Genesis, turn to Genesis chapter 5. He's our forefather, or the Bible tells us, you know, the head of humanity, Adam. God created him. His name means man. But notice in verse 2, chapter 5, he created them, male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in that day that they were created, representing us, the whole race of man. When Adam was created, Adam and Eve, God called them, titled them mankind, as his name implies in the Hebrew. Christ, in verse 14, is a type of him who is to come. Adam and Christ are representatives. Because they represent us, their actions affect us. The Bible tells us, because Adam sinned, it affected all mankind. The Bible tells us that in verse 12, sin entered the world. Adam opened the door and sin came in. Now, everyone born into sin and death, spread to all men, it tells us, because all sinned. Kind of the transmission of sinfulness down the line through mankind in our roots, in our nature. Interesting, in Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Another verse that kind of shows what he's saying. In Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse 9. Talking about even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. In the loins of his father. Adam, mankind, all born into sin. We were born in his loins, as it were. Born into sin. Without choice, we were born into sin. You know, some might say, that's not fair. You know, we didn't have a choice. How can I be or you be responsible for Adam's actions? Reap the effect of another's action is just not fair. You know, what's more unfair is that we reap the benefit of what Christ has done. You know, if you turn to Ezekiel 18. You know, the object is to let go. Not to blame your parents. Not to blame your situation to go on. What's so funny? You hear that, Ruthie and Jason? To let go and go on. You know, in Ezekiel 18, look at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, what do you mean when you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge? It's my father's fault. You know, it's his sin, it's the familiar spirits, it's his, you know, problems that I reap my problems. It's his fault. But that's not what he's saying. He says, we're going to clear this up. You're responsible alone before God. A righteous man will be exonerated. A guilty man, condemned. That's what Ezekiel said. And, yes, we're born under Adam in mankind, born into sin. We deserve death because of sin. We don't deserve grace. God's love to us, you know, that's not fair in all truth. But that's what Paul's saying, you know. Sin, it's abundant. It's powerful, but his grace is more powerful. It's like the operating principle within us. Through Adam's disobedience, Paul says, sin entered the world. Death reigns. Sin reigned in death, reigning within man, either sin or Christ, leading to death, being in condemnation, or the justification of life. Paul shows us Adam died as a result of his sin. We see that it's through Christ mentioned. Over and over in this passage is, you know, like the main theme is much more. Verse 15, abounded. Verse 17, much more. Those who receive abundance reign in life through Christ. Verse 20, grace abounded much more, greater than, stronger than sin and death. Over and over again, contrasting, showing the, you know, that it's a greater power. Our faith and grace offers more power, a greater abundance in life than does sin or the Adamic nature. He said grace abounded much more. The results are different. We've seen sin and righteousness, disobedience, obedience, death, life, judgment, condemnation, or justification. In Corinthians, the Bible tells us that we're either in Adam or in Christ. It's one or the other. You know, the difference is we didn't have a choice. You know, we were born under Adam. He was our representative. We didn't have a choice. We were born into sin. We do have a choice to be born under Christ. You know, we have to make that choice. You know, it's a new life, a new head, a new headship. Christ we must choose. Those who receive Christ. You know, that's what this is all about. You know, as Paul opens up, it's about taking part of God's grace. It's not, you know, we're not on a scenic tour as we're going through the Scripture. You know, and it's interesting, too. We can go through. It's not, you know, it's interesting. It's not an academic exercise. The purpose is that we eat, that we receive our portion, that we take part, that we change, that we live. And Paul's breaking down this powerful agent of grace that we might behold and accept. And look in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Partakers. The Bible tells us that we are a partaker of divine nature. He qualified us. That's what Paul opened up to us. How are we qualified? By faith. It's by grace through faith in Christ. You know, that's what qualifies us to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. The Bible tells us that we're born from above, born of God, born of the Spirit. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through those you, through the promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Partakers. You know, we're going through the most... Second Peter, I'm sorry, did I say First Peter? Yeah, Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 4. To be a partaker of his divine nature, born from above. We're going through, you know, grace land. We're going through the promised land. We're to take part, receive, to be, you know, not only downloaded, but to receive what he has for us. A new nature, new life, God's grace, the power that's abundant. We're to eat. It reminds me of a joke I just heard yesterday. You know, two robins were flying, and one robin said, "Hey, I'll take you to a park where the worms are good eating, man. There's a lot of worms. Follow me." So he flies over. The other robin's flying over. They land in a park, and there they're just munching down, man. The birds are, or the worms are in abundance, and they're just feasting, you know, and they overeat. They get stuffed. Both of them. Then they eat so much they can't even fly anymore. They have to take a rest and let it digest. So they sit back and they bask in the sun. These two robins. Next thing you know, a cat sneaks up on them. Eats one. Eats the other. Then the cat says, "Oh, there's nothing like Baskin Robbins." We're to eat and take part. What's before us, our portion. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, we're in the promised land. Jesus Christ is the promised land. He breaks it down to us. God's grace, God's love freely given with a power that comes greater over our sinful nature. How often, you know, I can't change. It's the way I am. See, I'm a result of my parents. This Jacob, the Bible tells us, who can deliver me from one stronger than I? Our own sinful nature, we've cried out so many times. It's too powerful. I can't change. That's what we think. But the Bible tells us, you know, that the life that Christ offers, fanfare, is greater, more abundant. God's grace. Jesus offers us a proposition to join him. He who comes to me, I will give rest, he says. Turn to John chapter 10. Look at verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Abundant life, you know, the abundant grace, more power, greater influence, greater benefits. Bible tells us we must choose. The effect of the operating principle, it counteracts or cancels out our sinful nature. That's what Paul's telling us and opening up to us, that the life in Christ is greater than the life in Adam. You know, to lay hold, to take part, we become a beneficiary of his work on the cross, redeeming us from the reign and the kingdom of sin and death. That's exactly what Paul's telling us, to lay hold of. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Paul's opening up the truth to us. It's a struggle for rulership in each one of us. Grace, God's grace, or sin? Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord, we do look to you, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for Romans and God's grace and the opening up the truth of God's grace to us, Lord. We ask that you open our heart, that you plant your word in our hearts, that we might not sin against you, that you would change us, Lord, to be a partaker of the new nature, of the inheritance of the saints, of the promises that you have for us, the promised land in Christ Jesus. Lord, we do turn to you. We ask that you have your way. And we ask that you continue to keep your hand upon us. Lord, you know how grateful we are for your grace and your mercy. We ask that you pour it out, Lord, that we might understand the free gift that you're giving us. We know that you delight when we receive your gifts. And Lord, we ask that you open us up and help us realize for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Whenever I read this, I think of, you know, Superman. Because in truth, you know, he's got superpowers. You know, and he can run faster, jump higher, he can fly. And the truth of Christ's life, you know, over ours. I remember seeing this guy one time, he had a, you know, a Superman emblem. And it said, Jesus is the real Superman. And he is, in truth.